stated, and I quote, that there is no difference between Hezbollah and Lebanon. We are going to annihilate Lebanon. These are their words, and I end quote. This is what they said themselves. Right, so basically, they may state to the public, to the, especially to the British media, when they talk in English, they say, yeah, we want to go after Hezbollah, etc. But they have a bigger plan. They've also colonized, I mean, Gaza has been taken over, West Bank is being taken over. Now they want parts of Lebanon. They're in Syria already, parts of Syria as well. So they want to colonize even Greater Israel. Netanyahu, we are not.
You genuinely think that he wants to take he wants to expand Israel into Lebanon?
He's shown that map of Greater Israel, Ben.
It didn't include Lebanon, Khaled.
Yeah, but he probably wants part of Lebanon as a buffer zone.
What's your basis for saying that?
Sorry?
What's your basis? Israel has invaded Lebanon before, and then it withdrew. So your idea that it wants to seize its territory permanently, I mean, it's baseless.
Even 1978 they did it, before even Hezbollah. Even Hezbollah was created after the
invasion.
In
this century they've invaded Lebanon. So why did they, if what you're saying is true, why did they then retreat? Why didn't they just keep that territory?
Yeah, well, they probably had too many losses.
Or that's not their aim, more likely.
No, but whether it's their aim or not, Ben, the point is they're probably creating a bigger buffer zone for Israel. Basically, that's what it is. In fact, we can't disregard the fact they've killed tens of thousands of people in Gaza.
But no one's disregarding that, Khaled. I'm talking about why they're going to Lebanon. You keep saying they're probably this, they're probably that. But as far as I can see, that's total conjecture. I don't think for a moment that Israel wants to occupy the entirety of Lebanon. I don't think, frankly, they even want to occupy an inch of it in Lebanon permanently. They just want to push back or ideally dismantle the terror group that is stopping tens of thousands of their citizens and civilians returning to their homes, and meaning they're constantly living under aerial bombardment. Khaled, thank you for the call. Got to leave it there because we're moving on. That was Khaled in Leicester. Coming up the other side of the news, I'm going to return to UK politics. Kemi Badenoch today saying it's time to accept that not all cultures are valid and we need to be far more picky about which ones we choose to let into this country via immigrants coming to live here. Is she right? Or does that sound to you like nothing more than dog whistle racism? That's what she's been accused of. What say you? Talk more about that after the news.
On your radio, on Global Player, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom, the UK government has chartered a commercial flight out of Lebanon for Britons wanting to leave as fears grow of an Israeli incursion into the country against Hezbollah. It's due to depart from Beirut on Wednesday, with the announcement coming after reports of heavy fire along the Lebanese border with Israel. Tal Hagin is a researcher on information warfare at the website Fake Reporter. He's been telling LBC there's a lack of any official information from the IDF tonight.
The Israeli government has issued a censorship on communications by Israeli news organizations to not speak about what is happening in the north in order to protect the troops. So the majority of the information we are getting is from secondhand accounts from within Lebanon or foreign nationals, as US officials, UK officials, other French officials.
Reports which are making it out of the region, though, are saying Lebanese troops have pulled back from the Israeli border. A security source has also claimed two IDF strikes have recently struck the south of Beirut. The former Director of Defence Diplomacy at the MOD, Brigadier John Deverill, has been talking to Ben Kentish on LBC. He thinks Benjamin Netanyahu is in a difficult military position.
If he doesn't do much of an incursion, it won't make a huge difference. And if he does keep pushing on, in a sense, mission creep. Hezbollah, who's been preparing for this for the last 20 years, will continue to be able to fire rockets, long-range rockets, from much further north anyway.
A lorry driver survived after his vehicle fell 60 metres from the Thelwald Viaduct on the M6 in Cheshire. It happened just before 7 o'clock this evening. Three northbound lanes are expected to remain closed until tomorrow morning. The French far-right leader Marine Le Pen has gone on trial alongside other officials from her party, accused of embezzling funds from the European Union. She denies violating any rules. LBC's Paris correspondent is Peter Allen.
Marine Le Pen could end up with 10 years in prison. And just as significantly, she could be banned from standing in elections for up to 10 years. This, of course, would mean that she wouldn't be able to stand in 2027 to become president of France.
And teachers from the NEU in England have accepted a new pay offer. Its members will now receive a 5.5% rise in wages. LBC weather staying wet and windy in the east of England overnight, but dry with clear spells for the rest of the UK. We'll see a low in places of a chilly 3 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Tim Daly.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Ben Kentish.
The time, Ben Kentish here with you on LBC. You blink and you probably missed it because it's been that tedious and that dull. But the Tory leadership contest is now well underway. That party holding their annual conference in Birmingham getting underway this weekend and continuing right through till Wednesday. And say what you want about one of the contenders, and my goodness, lots of people have, but Kemi Badenoch can never be accused, can she, of not saying what she really thinks. Not a day goes by without that woman causing some sort of almighty row and offending somebody. She says that means she's straight talking. Some of her colleagues think she's a little bit too straight talking to be party leader, but she is still the favourite. The latest row that Kemi Badenoch has provoked with her comments after the, you remember that she suggested or seemed to suggest that maternity pay was too high on Saturday. She's now been talking about immigration and she's caused quite a stir by saying this. She says, not all cultures are equally valid when it comes to determining who should be allowed into the UK. She says, our country is not a dormitory for people to come here and make money. It's our home. Those we choose to welcome, we expect to share our values and contribute to society. Now, you might think there's all sorts of values that Britain might not want to be welcoming into our borders with open arms, all sorts of things that we would be rightly wary and hesitant about saying, yes, yes, come here and carry on sort of perpetuating and living by values that we are very, very uncomfortable with. The example that Kemi Badenoch chose directly after saying what I just read out to you was that she's been very shocked by how many people coming here hate Israel. Now, of all the things you could have come up with, I don't for a minute think that we should be basing our immigration criteria on somebody's supposed love or hatred or support or otherwise for another country. I don't really care what people think about Israel when it comes to determining who should be able to live here. So it's a very, very strange thing for Kemi Badenoch to say. But I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt and ask you not about that specific comment, but about more widely whether she's onto something here. Whether we have for too long been too tolerant of cultures and outlooks that simply don't match our own, that are incompatible, you might say, with Western liberal ideals. Because that's what Kemi Badenoch claims that she was really talking about. She was asked shortly after making those comments by the BBC's Laura Koonsberg what she meant. Here's what she had to say.
It's not about labelling cultures. Culture includes a lot of things. I'm not talking about cuisine. I'm talking about customs. And I think that cultures where women are told that they should not work, I would knock on doors. I'm sure Penny and Jake had this. You'd knock on doors and you'd see somebody at the door who says, oh, I can't speak to you. I will get my husband. I don't think that's as equally valid as our culture.
Equally valid. It's not as equally valid. Is she right to say that we need to be more critical, I think is what she's getting at here, of cultures that don't fit in with our own way of thinking about things like, well, in that case, the place and the rights of women? And is she right to go even further than that and say, actually, when it comes to immigration and who we allow to come and live in the United Kingdom, we should be more selective and we should make sure that those coming here aren't those who think that a woman's place is in the home, or that a woman should follow what her husband tells her to do? Or does that take you down a very, very slippery slope indeed if you start basing your immigration criteria on somebody's ideological beliefs? 0345 6060 973. When she says, this is the gist of it, isn't it, that not all cultures are equally valid, is that for you a statement of fact Or does that set your alarm bells ringing pretty loudly? Is that a pretty big red flag when it comes to what Kemi Badenoch is getting at? Because some have said, quite a lot of people today have said, this is basically just racism or Islamophobia, that what she's talking about is Muslims and she should just come out and be honest and then we can call it what it is. Give me a ring. 0345 6060 973 is the number to call. Just on that point, let's talk to Mikdad Versi, spokesperson for the Muslim Council of Britain. Mikdad, great to have you with us tonight. Let's start, shall we, with Kemi Badenoch's suggestion that not all cultures are valid when it comes to deciding who should and shouldn't be allowed into our country. What do you make of that?
I think that the way that she's framed some of these questions is hugely problematic. In particular, when she was asked in more detail about what she meant. She, for example, was talking about how if someone has anti-Israel views, that means that they are someone who shouldn't be in this country. And I think some of those framings of those questions are really problematic, and it creates huge problems for many people in this country. I'd add to that that Boris Johnson's former advisor, Samuel Kusumu, just today on BBC, talked about how it looks like she's targeting Muslims. He was very clear in thinking that that's exactly who she's targeting. And it's really problematic that again and again, it seems like Kemi Badenoch seems to have a problem in this area. And I'd love her to actually be able to speak about Muslims as equal citizens rather than trying to create what seems to be a Trumpian Muslim ban, except for those with those exceptional views on certain issues. That's not helpful, that's not useful, and it's actually very dangerous.
So would that be your sense too, that when Samuel Kusumu says this is about Muslims, she is making a point specifically about British Muslims, is that how you interpret those comments as well?
When she's saying that those who have anti-Israel views who are coming into our country more often nowadays, it seems that she's talking about people who are coming from primarily Muslim countries. And it's very difficult to understand how she's meaning anything other than Muslims. And that's what's really problematic here. What we need is not to go down this sort of Trumpian Muslim ban type approach, but instead talk about immigration in a way that celebrates its value and brings people in who add value to our country in different ways, whether that's through whatever process is required, whatever requirements that are needed to get in. But not on these ideas of free speech and different perspectives on foreign affairs. That type of action is clearly illogical. I mean, just imagine if I was to say, you know, anyone who has a view that Israel is committing genocide, mm-hmm. you know, that's a view that many people have in this country, whether or not you agree the ICJ, how far it's going in there. But South Africa and Namibia, who've suffered apartheid, think that this is exactly what Israel's doing. If someone who has these views is considered to be anti-Israel and therefore cannot be allowed in this country, what does that say about free speech?
I'd agree. It's a very strange example, I would say, to give. And yet, Mikdad, it's not the only one. To be fair to Kemi Badenoch, when she was asked what she meant about some cultures being less valid, she went on to say, I think that cultures where women are told that they should not work. She said, I would knock on doors and you would see somebody at the door who says, I can't speak to you, I'll get my husband. The point she's making, and she says this herself, is that some people coming to the UK will have values about and beliefs about things like gender inequality that are not compatible with what are modern British liberal values. I mean, on that, I mean, she's got a point, hasn't she?
Of course, we don't want to have people who believe in sexism, misogyny, hate coming into this country. But let's be equal about it. I mean, I don't think there's any difference of views that hate is not a good thing.
But I don't think that's hate. Just sorry, I don't think she's saying. I don't think she's saying people that hate women. She is saying about a cultures or beliefs or mindsets, whatever we want to call it, that basically sort of enshrine the idea as the man as the head of a household and the woman, the wife, is subservient to them. And that, you know, that comes into different faiths, that comes into different nationalities, and so on. But my view would be, and I think this is what she says, is that that is a problem. That is not something we want people coming here to continue to practice within the UK.
So I don't necessarily disagree with some of that. I think the challenge is, how would you go about determining that? Do you ask people, oh, this person, do you believe that you're the head of the household? I think some of these things are quite difficult to deal with. But of course, you want to make sure that our country is one that is forward-looking, that treats everyone equally, that you know, gives maternity pay, as some people would say, is a core part of our values, some people might argue. Look, I agree with the underlying principle that we want to have a free society. We want to have one where misogyny is not part and parcel of what's going on. But I think it's really quite difficult to start looking at people's beliefs as your indicator of whether someone should be allowed or not into this country. I think we're getting into dodgy territory there. We have laws in place, and if someone's going to do something that is against the law, those people should be punished with the law. I think that's how we run a democratic society. And I think if you start trying to create a thought police and you actually start saying, you know what, this person with this belief, I don't want them in, and this person with that belief, I don't want in, how are you going to draw the line? Who makes that decision, and how are you going to actually find that out? I think we're getting into dodgy territory.
When it comes specifically to the immigration system and how that determines somebody's eligibility to enter the UK and live here.
That's correct,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah. I think what she said, as I've said, was quite clumsily and quite poorly worded. But again, if she's getting at the point that, you know, perhaps for too long we've been too tolerant of some customs and some beliefs that do allow that sort of, use the word misogyny, that sort of attitude to be perpetuated and continued in this country. And as I said, again, I don't think that is limited to one faith by any means. Then it's time to start calling it out and say, actually, no, it's not just a case of, well, you can think what you want, we're a tolerant country. There should be more of a pressure to conform to sort of modern liberal ideals. What would you say to that, Mikdad?
So this concept of muscular liberalism, which has been talked about quite a long time, I don't know. I think that the state getting involved in this type of decision making is huge. Is inherently problematic. We know that when you have the state determining what is good and what is bad, in this way, in terms of beliefs and different viewpoints, I think it potentially has problems.
But it happens, doesn't it? It happens. I mean, with the Equality Act, for example, that stops people being discriminated against on the basis of their gender or sexuality.
Exactly. And that's why law is very important. We have a democratic system. We create a law. And I think that's good. I think when you're starting to get into a place where the state's starting to say, you know what, this person has this, which I disagree with, is problematic. And I think the other point of this is also noting that I'm not entirely sure that's what she's talking about. Right. I think this is actually a broader dog whistle about Muslims, right? So these are all fig leaves. If you look at what's the common thread across all of these areas? She's talking about anti-Israel views from these countries that more people are coming from more recently. And then she's talking about these specific two or three examples, which are often associated with Muslims. And as you rightly say, they shouldn't necessarily, because they're broader than that.
Absolutely.
But why is she talking about all of these things together? The thread is simple. And I think it's a dog whistle to trying to be a Trumpian ban, because she thinks that the reform voters believe this type of stuff, and it gives her a greater chance of victory. And I think that's really problematic inherently. And I think everyone can have a view on, you know, on values and how do we promote good, what we used to call British values or whatever you want to call them, in terms of, you know, liberalism in the UK. You know, adherence to international law would be one of the ones I would consider to be a core British value. But it seems one that a large portion of our country and a large portion of the Conservative Party leadership candidates today don't believe in when it comes to Israel. So, you know, how do you define these things? And I would have thought things like international law are a simple example of this. So, you know, I don't know. I think that we have to be careful in this space. And I would argue that it seems like Ms. Badenoch has a specific focus on Muslims and is using what seems to be a dog whistle on this very issue.
Just talking of dog whistles, Mick Dugg, let me ask you about Kemi Badenoch's rivals' comments, Robert Jemrick, talking several times, and he's been saying again, I believe, at Tory conference, about the idea that English identity is under threat, and it's under threat in particular, he seems to think, from mass immigration. I mean, just sort of on the topic of dog whistles, give us your response to that, if you wouldn't mind.
I think at the moment, it's a very disappointing situation when you have this, you know, Trumpian language being the language of the day. I think that it's quite clear that some of these candidates want to appeal to the hardest of the hard right in their party and in the Reform Party. They think that's the way to win the next election, and they think that's the way for them to win the leadership of the Conservative Party. I don't even know if I think they believe this stuff. And I think that's what's really problematic, that they're putting out notions in ways that are hugely illiberal, to be honest, in many ways that they're speaking. Mass immigration as this idea that there's an invasion, implicitly talking about this idea of there being an invasion into this country. I mean, that's what some of these individuals, supporters and co-conspirators, as you might call them, are talking about.
Well, that was
about,
a Suella Braverman phrase, wasn't it?
Yeah. Suella Braverman phrase and Matthew Goodwin and others have used that exact phrase. Like, that's the concept they're talking about, that all these people who are coming into this country and taking it over, that's the problem. It's very close to the sort of conspiracy theories that we've heard about, the grand replacement theory, etc., which are racist, right? These have come from racist places, and you could argue it's not exactly the same. I agree, it's not exactly the same, but it's pretty close. And I think we need to recognize why they're doing this, because the facts don't support their arguments. And actually, if you want to talk about immigration, I would always argue that we have done a pretty good job in the UK about immigration compared to many other places across the world. If you look at education, if you look at segregation, if you look at many of the key indicators, we've actually done a really good job. And instead of being proud of our nation, which you'd expect those on the right to be talking in that language, they've actually been denigrating our country in this way. And I actually don't think this is very patriotic. I don't think this is very thoughtful. I don't think this is the right thing for someone who's supposed to be proud to be English.
Would you go as far as saying the comments from both Kemi Badenoch and Robert Jenrick are Islamophobic?
Robert Jenrick in other places has been. When it comes to these specific statements, I don't think he's specifically talking about Muslims, or he hasn't said so, as far as I'm aware, on these particular points. On Kemi Badenoch, I think here, what I'd want to do is understand what her rationale could be other than it's Muslims. I mean, obviously, the fact that Boris Johnson's former advisor thought that this is clearly an indicator of targeting Muslims, that is what it seems to me as well. And if that is the case, then it's clearly Islamophobic. But I would always want to give the benefit of the doubt, give the opportunity for someone to say, no, I didn't mean that. And the thread across all of these is something else. I'm happy to hear that argument. But let's be clear, if there isn't that argument, then it looks like he's targeting Muslims, because which other thread connects being anti-Israel and these different arguments that she's been giving? I think she recognizes that that's what she wants to target. She doesn't want to use the word Muslim, although she was challenged on that by Laura Kunzberg on the BBC. And she then decides to say, oh, I have some Muslim friends who have a different view, and I have And you think, well, what does that remind you of? I can't see how that's not anything other than trying to defend yourself and pretend I'm not being racist when I am being racist. I mean, I can't see another alternative. But I'd always give the benefit of the doubt, always give the option for her to say something different.
That's Mikhdad Versi, spokesperson for the Muslim Council for Britain. Mikhdad, thank you very much for joining us tonight. What do you make of that? Is Kemi Badenoch right that we are that not all cultures are valid when it comes to immigration, and we need to be more clear in saying so when it comes to deciding who's allowed to come to Britain and who isn't? Or is that, as Mikhdad says, just dog whistle, Islamophobia and racism? 0345 6060 973, the number to call. Your thoughts on that next.
LBC.
The plant near the reception desk at Axel's Autocare is loving life. Because since Axel started taking card payments with Barclaycard, he's got the money in his account the next day, with no hidden fees. So he spends less time waiting and more time watering. What's good for small business is good for everyone. Barclaycard Payments.
Settlement terms may vary. To receive next day settlement, transactions need to be taken before 9 p.m. for Flex and before 7 p.m. for Smart Pay Anywhere and Smart Pay Touch. T's and C's apply.
Hey you! You, with the hands at 10 and 2. Ever felt that nudge that your motor might need a little TLC? When it's time to go under the hood, eBay's got you covered. From mirrors to headlights, find all the right parts by entering your reg. And if it doesn't fit, eBay Assured Fit means you can return it for free. That's our money-back pledge. Find the right part at the right price with eBay Assured Fit. Exclusions apply. See ebay.co.uk for more details.
Curtains drawn at dawn. You wake. And so does your potential. You don't let it snooze or sit around. You act on it. Run with it. Past the safety of routine and familiarity to somewhere new. Because anything is possible if you choose to make it happen.
Whether you're growing your business, switching careers, or just starting out, Make the most of your potential. It all starts with skills. Search Skills for Life.
Ben Kentish on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
And then 24 the time. Just the one other thing I wanted to get your thoughts on in the context of Cammie Badenoch's comments about immigration. Robert Jemrick, of course, has also been beating this sort of drum, talking about English culture, not even British culture, English culture being under threat by mass immigration. Do you recognise that assessment too? Do you think that your culture, if you're English, is under threat by people coming here from abroad? And when you hear Jemrick saying that, when you hear Cammie Badenoch saying, we've got to accept that not all cultures are valid and some are less valid than others, do you think, my God, finally someone's speaking the truth on this? Or do you think, my God, the Tory parties are really going ever further down a sort of right-wing rabbit hole? Let's talk to Shane in Edinburgh on that. Hi, Shane.
Good evening.
Evening.
Can I just pick up on something that your last contributor was talking about? And he referred to her talking about misogynistic cultures. Watch that example that she gave about knocking on the door and a woman saying, I'll just get my husband, as if the husband would take over and speak to her rather than the woman speak to, you know, herself. What I think she was talking about there was cultures which have patriarchal structures of power and dominance.
Yes.
I don't think it was about misogyny or hatred or anything like that.
But aren't those things similar?
They are similar, but they are distinctly different. I think you'd agree. I think that's what she was talking about there.
I don't know if I would agree, to be honest. I mean, hatred. I'd say it's not hatred, but I would say a culture that says a woman should be subservient to her husband.
Yeah, no, I agree.
That is misogynistic.
I don't like it. I don't like it either, and I think the label I would prefer to give that example of hers was that she was objecting to patriarchal structures of power and dominance. And I used to work as a housing worker, and I've personally come across that with some cultures. Now, I don't care for Cammie Badenoch's politics, and I don't especially like her, but this did rather resonate with me for a slightly different reason.
Okay.
Yes. As I say, I'm no fan of hers, but she does have a point. I used to believe in celebrating all cultures and being very embracing and believing in a multicultural society until I got queer bashed. And I was told, I can't repeat the language, it's on the radio and it would upset many people. Okay. But I was told, this is what we do to the likes of you, in much less polite language, in X country. Mm-hmm. And I then started to... Now, before we go any further, the country referred to was predominantly Christian, evangelical Christian.
Well, you can say the country, Shane. I don't have an issue.
I don't want to.
Okay.
I'm just giving you an example. It wasn't Muslim. That's the point I'm trying to
make. Was it a European
make.
Country?
No.
Right.
But it's a country where if a gay person is murdered by the family, the police decline to investigate.
Right. Okay.
Peter Tatchell has spoken about this often.
Okay.
Now, I find that completely... And she gave the example, now, where the example she gave was about gays being stoned to death.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that I did think had an Islamic connotation to it. But I started to change my view about celebrating cultures and treating all cultures as equal and valid when they are inconsistent with the values of the modern world that we have. We have gay equality in this country. We now recognise gay partnership, gay marriage. Gays are now equal before the law, whereas when I lost my partner in 1997, it cost me £72,000 in inheritance tax, whereas if I'd been a heterosexual person, there wouldn't have been any tax liability. That's all been improved, but I don't expect to be set upon by people of a different culture when I walk along the street queer bashed. And where I think your previous caller, the guy from the Muslim Council for Great Britain, and I'm very minded that Baroness Varsi has said they speak for no one except themselves. There's no sort of high priest in Islam. They're just expressing their own view. Where I think he's absolutely right, though, is that that's what we have laws for. That, you know, when people do these dreadful things, and break the law, they get prosecuted and punished the same as anybody else. Mm. I don't know. Where I think he's got a point is I don't know how you operationalise the sorts of issues that Kemi Badenoch was referring to into some sort of immigration policy. What are you going to do? Have immigration officers conduct a very subjective assessment of what people's values are? That would
or the dynamic in the marriage of the man and the woman that want to come here. I mean, But exactly. I guess she's just, I guess she would say she's sort of raising a problem. She's not talking about solutions.
I think she's got a point. No, she's got a point. She's identified.
But Shane, I hear you completely. Yeah. We don't want cultures in this country that don't treat gay people as, you know, equal.
And don't respect our laws.
But we have a Church of England that won't let gay people get married.
Yeah, can I just say, before we go any further, I'm not a Christian. I have no religious beliefs. If I wanted to have a marriage or a civil partnership, I would want to conduct it before a registrar, but that's my privilege. But I think it's appalling for those gays and lesbians that are members of the Church.
So do
of England,
I.
That the Church.
But Shane,
however,
the reason I bring that up,
note, the Church of Scotland does.
But the reason I bring that up is, you know, in this country already we've got Orthodox Judaism kind of gay marriage, Islam. I'm pretty sure you can't have gay marriage.
No,
Catholicism, you can't have gay marriage. Church of England,
you can't
have gay marriage. So when Kemi Badenoch talks about importing these views, I think I agree with you. I think she's got a point, but can we also not pretend that there's not a lot of that problem already here? And you talk you talk about patriarchal sort of family structures. That's not limited to Islam. There'll be British people of a certain generation.
I know.
I'm not saying you did.
I'm just trying to clarify.
I appreciate that. But if we accept, as Mikdad was saying, that she was talking specifically, you know, she didn't say that about
it.
It did sound like it, and that's wrong.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of Jewish people will have patriarchal family structures. A lot of Catholic people will have patriarchal family structures. A lot of non-religious people of a certain age in this country will have patriarchal family structures where the man is the head of the family. You know, this idea that we are so progressive, it's only less than 15 years ago that we legalised gay marriage. You know, it was banned within recent decades. The idea that we're so far ahead of everybody else, that we're so superior in our values and our culture. I mean, I think it defies facts, to be honest.
There is a tension which she has identified. I do actually think the way she framed it gave the impression that she was talking about Muslims. And before we go any further, I am not Islamophobic.
Mm-hmm.
I don't particularly care for the way she goes about things, but there were aspects of that that resonated with me. I don't know about cultures being as valid. What I am concerned about is that people that settle in this country, whether they like our issues on, you know, the way we have gender equality, that we don't discriminate against gays, that we don't advocate, you know, killing people, gay people, stoning them, whatever it is. I think they have to respect our laws and accept them. And I think this is where the tension exists. When I got queer bashed, it was very clear to me that the people that were doing it were not respecting our laws. They had a massive problem with it and thought it should be as it was in their country. And I'm afraid I don't agree with that.
I agree completely. I agree with you completely, Shane. That is, you know, this idea that we should say, well, actually, you know, we believe gay people are equal, or women are equal, or whatever minority, or whatever group it is, are equal, but you don't, and that's fine. We accept your differences, and we're respectful of the fact that you think that being gay is a sin, and women belong in the kitchen, or whatever it is you think. That is nonsense. We live in a liberal country. If you want to live here, those are the values you need to practice, I'm afraid. Or you should expect to be ostracised and criticised for it. I agree on that. But I'm wary, to be honest with you, I'm a bit wary of Kemi Badenoch's motivations for saying this. And I'm also wary of the way that she seems to think this is sort of a uniquely an immigrant problem. Until we have a state religion headed by our head of state, the monarch, that thinks gay people shouldn't be allowed to get married simply because they are gay, then frankly, we're not really one to preach about other cultures, are we? The idea, as I say, that we have come so far and it's everybody else that's the problem. There's an awful lot of people and institutions already in this country, including ones that are pretty fundamental to British national life, like the Church of England, that also should be in Kemi Badenoch's sights if she's really on a rampage against illiberal views. But it seems to me she's not on a rampage against illiberal views. She's on a rampage against illiberal views only when they are held by immigrants and immigrant communities. And that, for me, is the problem. Shane, great call to kick us off. Thanks very much indeed. Lots more to come on this. And we'll get an update from our political correspondent, Aggie Shombury, on what else has happened or not happened at the Conservative Party conference in Birmingham today. 11:33 the time. Before that, news headlines. Tim Daly.
Hezbollah has issued a statement saying it's been targeting Israeli troop movements from Lebanese border towns. There have been reports of exchanges of fire in border areas. The Iranian-backed group claims to have achieved what it's calling confirmed hits. The UK government has chartered a commercial flight out of Lebanon for Britons who want to leave as fears grow of an Israeli incursion into the country. It's due to depart from Beirut on Wednesday. And the French far-right leader Marine Le Pen has gone on trial alongside other officials from her party, accused of embezzling funds from the European Parliament. She's denying violating any rules. LBC weather, wet and windy in the east of England overnight, but drier and clearer elsewhere around the UK, with a low in places of 3 degrees.
This is LBC. Did you know you could get the winter fuel payment or the equivalent in Scotland if you get pension credit? Pension credit is worth, on average, £3,900 per year, and gives you help with other living costs. It's for people aged 66 or over and on a low income. Check the online eligibility calculator today to see if you're entitled. Search pension credit on gov.uk or call 0800 99 1234. Eligibility criteria apply.
Welcome to Able & Cole, where inconvenience is a good thing. We'll only deliver to your area once a week.
It reduces carbon emissions.
Our food costs a bit more.
We pay farmers fairly.
And our broccoli won't last as long.
Because we don't do preservatives or unnecessary plastic.
An inconvenience store is better for the planet and tastes better too.
Join the thousands of people choosing inconvenience. Search Able & Cole and order groceries online today. Difficult tastes better. Able & Cole.
We've all been there. MOT's coming up, your car's making a noise or two. And you think if you just turn your music up just a little louder each time, you'll be fine. But that's not you, is it? You know you can get your car in check with parts that will fit right. All you need to do is enter your reg on eBay. Find brake lights, filters, windscreen wipers and more, and get your car MOT ready. Find the right part at the right price with eBay.
Angela Rippon, what are you doing here?
I've come to tell you about using energy flexibly, Albert.
Flexibly?
Yes, smart meter owners could get rewarded for moving their energy use, like doing the laundry at off-peak times.
So I don't need to do the splits?
No, Albert, nobody wants to see that.
Get rewarded for using energy flexibly, only with a smart meter. Search Get a Smart Meter today.
Eligibility and availability vary. Consumer action required. Reward schemes and tariffs available to selected customers from selected suppliers.
This is LBC with Ben Kentish. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
11:36 time. Back to your calls about Kemi Badenoch's comments about some cultures being less valid than others. She's talking specifically, well, she says, about firstly about people who hate Israel, which is a very strange example to give if you ask me. But then she goes on to talk about cultures in which, you know, someone knocks on the door and the woman says, I'll go and get my husband. Which, again, I mean, that will happen in a lot of British homes still. And it certainly would have done 50 years ago. So, yes, we've made progress. But the idea that we can sort of sit on some throne and sneer about other cultures, I mean, I think we need to be a bit careful about that. But I also think, that said, that Kemi Badenoch's right, that we shouldn't tolerate people living in this country practising homophobia or misogyny or whatever else it might be that we decide collectively is not compatible with how we live today. And I'm a bit surprised that that is so controversial, to be honest with you. What do you make of it? Let's talk to David in South Woodford on this. Evening, David.
Hi, evening. I personally think her and all four of the remaining candidates for Tory leadership are addressing just two groups of people. One is the Conservative Friends of Israel, and one is the Tory party membership, who, whichever poll you look at, have serious issues with Islam. And I think that's where she's
addressing. What's Conservative Friends of Israel got to do with it?
Well, this is what she said about hating Israel. Robert Jenrick was talking about moving the British embassy to Jerusalem, which is in breach of international law. So, you know, when it comes to law and British values, it goes out of the window when it comes to Israel.
What's the link between what they've said about Israel and the importance of British values?
The main British values are recognising law and order. Moving the Israeli embassy to Jerusalem is in breach of the Vienna Convention on Diplomatic Relations, which only allows embassies on another country.
So you would say the location of the Israeli embassy in Israel is a matter of British values?
Yes, because you're breaching international law. The law says you can't have an embassy in another jurisdiction, which is not. This is the Vienna Convention on Diplomatic Relations.
Right.
So the point I'm making is this is the audience they have, the Tory party membership.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why they're making these comments about Islam. Listen, the Tory party should talk about other things. They used to be known as the party of law and order. Why are they not talking about? Why is Kemi not talking about?
What's the problem in saying that too many people who are coming to our country don't share our liberal values?
No, we can't do. We've just had the riots where Muslims have been attacked. Why inflame things? Why we've just had loads of prisoners released early. Why is she not talking about law and order? Why is she not talking about the economy?
She is talking about those things.
I mean, the media certainly isn't. And I think this is the wrong language to use, especially as the Muslims they've bore the brunt of the riots we've had recently.
Yes.
Mosques being attacked, etc.
I agree, and that's what I've said. If she is, and I agree with Mikdad Versi that when you look at what she said, it seems she is talking specifically about Muslims, then she's talking nonsense, because the problem is not just amongst Muslims. It's amongst people of various faiths and none. But the gist of what she's saying, that we should not be tolerant of people that see women as inferior or gay people as second class or sinners, I agree with that, David. Do you not?
We all agree with that, but there's other issues. Ben, I'll give you a statistic.
On average,
nearly two women every week in this country are killed or seriously hurt by men who've been released early, are on bail, or shouldn't be out. If she really wants to protect women, why not get tough on that?
Yeah, and that comes back to what I was saying about her reasons for saying it, which, David, I suspect you are right to an extent, are far more to do with appeasing certain people in the Tory party who perhaps shouldn't be appeased and should be called out, than it is genuine concern about the people that she says she's standing up for. Call me a cynic, but I do think that's part of it. David, thanks for the call. Let's go to Michael in Streatham. Michael?
Hi, Ben. Listen, I moved to London from Wales 30 years ago because I love the multicultural aspect of this city that I now live in. And I'm also a gay man, and I've also been an organist for 33 years in churches. And I can tell you, you can't compare the religious situation that it is here in this country with what happens in a lot of the Muslim countries.
No. But nobody is, Michael, are they?
I think some people are trying to say, oh, well, we've only had homosexuality legal since 1969. But yet, I support Amnesty International and a lot of these charities which are out there helping to get men off death row, and women as well, from being stoned to death. You know, and also, I think Kemi Badenoch is using words that are trying to bring herself into the spotlight. Like using the word like valid, you know, cultures.
Mm.
And also, don't forget, when she was the Equalities Minister, she was criticised repeatedly for not meeting LGBTQ groups.
Mm-hmm.
And for criticising same-sex marriage. And yet she threw that line into the latest interview. She's like a Trumpian kind of person that tries to traverse two worlds at the same time. And I wonder why she's doing that.
What are the two worlds?
For me.
Michael, what two worlds do you think she's trying to traverse?
I think she's trying to appease to the right wing,
right,
whilst justifying it, you know, for keeping one foot into being a liberal person, but yet also trying to let right-wing people think that she's against immigration.
But I mean, what about the? I mean, the practical. What she's saying practically is, we should be very careful about letting people come here who don't share our values. And, you know, instinctively, I agree with that, that we don't want to be importing misogyny or homophobia or whatever it might be. But, I mean, yeah, what does that look like practically? So, I don't know, someone comes from a very traditional country where being gay is seen as sinful and is illegal, Syria, say. They come here as a refugee fleeing famine and persecution. And we say to them, well, sorry, you can't come in because you're not hot on LGBTQ rights. Do you see what I mean? In practice, I don't really understand the consequence of what she thinks the consequence of what she's saying should be.
I don't understand this. And if you look further into it, do you know how much percentage of MAGA Republicans, Americans, who work in the city, who are in finance, who agree with Trump?
Mm.
And Trump and his 2025 platform, they're trying to outlaw homosexuality. They're going to reverse a lot of the laws there. Do you know how many Americans come here?
I don't think Trump's going to outlaw homosexuality.
I misspoke there. What I'm saying is a lot of the MAGA Republicans want to reverse same-sex marriage, and they want to reverse abortion.
Yes.
And yet they come here. I speak to them. They bring those American values here. So are we going to question Americans that want to come and say
a lot of those values? It's only 10 years ago we had an almighty debate in this country about whether gay marriage should be legal.
Indeed.
And a lot of people said it shouldn't. And now most people support it, but a lot still don't. So it comes back to this point, doesn't it? I think Kemi Badenoch is right to say we want to try to tackle this sort of intolerance of minority groups and women and so on. But why does she seem to think it's only a problem amongst people coming here rather than a problem amongst people, immigrant or non-immigrant, who are already here? That's my issue with it.
I think for her it's all about headlines,
yeah,
and what she can do to draw attention to herself. And she wants to look at the conversation we're having right now. It's because she used the word valid.
Yeah.
Now, that's a very strange word to me. I would say incompatible or maybe not aligned,
yep,
to us.
Yep.
But valid. I mean,
who's to say what's an invalid culture?
Indeed. How can I say? It's an aggressive term, I think.
Mm. And the other thing, Michael, that I just as you were thinking as you were talking is, I mean, you look at all sorts of measures for quality of life and how well we're doing as a country, wealth per person, happiness, how long people are working, family breakdown, divorce rate. You might look at those statistics in our country and then look at other parts of Europe like Scandinavia or indeed a lot of East Asian countries, and think, my goodness, let's not lecture other people about who's got a valid culture. Because on all sorts of measures, people in this country are far more unhappy and miserable than a lot of places that we might look down our noses at.
Indeed. Well, I'm actually an ambassador for a charity. I work with schools all around the country. And it's a charity that seeks to forge allegiances and bridges between different cultures, okay? And we all recognise that there are beautiful things in all cultures that come here. But the totality of those cultures might not be synchronistically aligned to us. But there are nevertheless beautiful things about those cultures. So we have to work together and use speech that is not incendiary and not aggressive towards each other. We're in a very volatile state in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just think there's a fine line, isn't there, between it not being arrogant enough to say we've got everything right and all these other people have got everything wrong. And also, where you and I agree, Michael, I think, and also not being overly tolerant of, well, intolerance, isn't it? Not tolerating intolerance. Not saying, OK, you might hate gay people and think women should never go out and work, and that's fine because that's your culture. Because if we're in this country, then that's not what we want. If you want to live in this country, then there should be an expectation that on pretty fundamental issues like gender equality, you abide by British values, I think. And on that, I do agree with Kemi Badenoch. On everything else that you said about her, Michael, I agree with you as well. Thanks for the call. Lots more to come on this in just a moment. 11:48.
LBC, this morning, on Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Kemi Badenoch sparking a furious row yesterday for suggesting that statutory maternity pay is excessive. Lisa's in Rochester. Is that right? You're on maternity leave now, Lisa?
Yes,
oh, congratulations. How long ago did you have the baby?
Just under 4 months. He's 4 months tomorrow. So I think the point that people tend to kind of forget when they're talking about maternity pay and mums kind of getting, quote-unquote, 3 months, is we're literally creating the workforce that's going to be working in the next 20 to 30 years. So mums may now make a decision that, look, I can't afford to go on maternity pay or go on maternity leave. I can't afford to have children, which I think a lot of people are doing.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Back tomorrow morning from 7.
With Betfair, where odds move faster than polls. Play responsibly.
LBC.
Are you an absolutely huge fonter? Or a zoom-inner? Perhaps you're an arm stretched out like a zombie when holding a newspaper-er. Or a squint so tightly at the menu the waiter thinks you're sleeping-er. At Specsavers, we get it. You don't want to admit it's time to become a glasses-wearer-er. That's okay. We're ready to see you whenever you're ready to see properly. Book an eye test at specsavers.co.uk so you can see clearer-er. Okay. We'll stop with the ears now.
Raj has been running his gardening business for a year now, doing what he does best. But that's not all he does. Sure, he knows when best to prune your peony, but now he does his accounts, tax returns, heavy lifting, leafleting, and changes the occasional light bulb for his customers. Self-employed? We get you. That's why AXA Business Insurance offers tailored cover, so you choose the insurance to fit your business and only pay for what you need. AXA Business Insurance. Know you can. AXA UK PLC is regulated and authorised by the Prudential Regulation Authority and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority.
I'm very proud to launch my new M&S Food and Tom Kerridge Gastropub range. It's taken years of hard work to bring the flavours of my restaurants to the shelves of M&S. So choose a main, side, and either a starter or a dessert in the Gastropub dine-in. For your dessert, give my super indulgent molten cookie dough a go, oozing with dark and white Belgian chocolate with a touch of sea salt. This is not just food. This is Tom Kerridge and M&S Gastropub food. Subject to availability, T's and C's apply.
Bye, Mum. Bye, love. Have a good day.
Right, got something for dinner and paid the bills. What would they do without me? Oh, that reminds me. I need to get life insurance sorted.
Legal & General Life Insurance can help cover the expenses of family life should the worst happen to you. Premiums start from £5 a month and you'll get a £120 gift card if you apply before the 22nd of November. Protect your loved ones. Search Legal & General Life Insurance today. No cash in value, T's and C's apply.
Are you a glasses lifter-upper and peer underneather? Or perhaps a peep over the topper? You could even be a peek around the cider. Actually, forget that. It's impossible. Either way, at Specsavers, we get what you're up against. So why not come and see us about becoming a varifocaler? With varifocal lenses, you'll see close up, far away, and everything in between. And they're free, with a single pair of glasses from £70. Include standard varifocal lenses only. Conditions apply. Ask in store for details.
This is LBC. Message Ben Kentish on WhatsApp now on 0345 6060973.
This comes in from Daniel on WhatsApp. Ben, as a British Jewish conservative voter currently living in Tel Aviv, Kemi Badenoch's comments, as well as Robert Jemrick's comments about Israeli flags at airports, made me extremely uncomfortable. You and me both, Daniel. Since when is somebody's political outlook on the Middle East grounds for accepting or refusing their application to come and live in our country? You might say Israel has absolutely no right to exist and never has, and I would disagree with you. But that's not linked to whether or not you should have the right to enter and come and live in our country. And to link people's political beliefs to their immigration status is, I mean, it's sinister, isn't it? There's a word for that. If you go down that path, and it starts with F and it ends in ashism. If you start saying to people, actually, you can't live here anymore, you can't come live in the first place unless you believe what we think are the right things, it's a very, very dangerous place to end up. Come back to your thoughts on that in just a moment. Let's first have a quick check-in at what's going on in at the Conservative Party conference, where Kemi Badenoch has been making some of these comments. Aggie Chambray joins us, LBC's political correspondent. Aggie, very good evening to you. Just tell us what the mood's like there, because I imagine you might have been to wakes that are more upbeat than the current Tory Party conference.
Ben, it is so funny you say that, because actually I have been so surprised that the mood is almost
upbeat. It's upbeat. Really, really surprising. But genuinely, that is the word people are using. And I think it might best be considered as gallows humour, as it's been described to me. But as someone said, everyone loves the contest, and it does feel like this one is inexplicably still wide open. There is that kind of drama element of this, which doesn't feel like it's going away. I mean, there are, of course, still four candidates left in this race, and it does feel ridiculously like any one of them could still win. I mean, we are 87 days in since the Tory leadership officially opened, but we've still got 33 days to go, and it does still feel, as I say, like Tom Tugendhat, James Cleverly, Cameron Badenoch, or Rob Jenrick could be crowned the winner at the end.
How important is this conference, Aggie, in determining which one of those four does prove to be victorious and become the leader of the opposition? It's a sort of beauty pageant, but this is where all the members congregate, right? Or a lot of them. So it's a really important few days, presumably, for those four candidates.
Well, it's funny you ask that. So obviously, for two of the candidates, two of the four, this conference is completely irrelevant because they will never actually get to see the members vote at all, because the next stage, which will happen next week, will be another set of MPs voting. But the audience very much is about the members today. People, the candidates, as they talk, they are talking about the members. They're trying to get their case across to the members. And Kemi Badenoch has had, I would say, the most difficult conference so far. She made those comments yesterday about suggesting that maternity pay was excessive, which she's basically spent the last 24 hours rowing back on, saying she was misrepresented over her words. And it's interesting because someone, one of the camps, suggested to me that had been quite damaging to her, but said it's Kemi Badenoch. She could have a very good 2 days and actually turn it round. So it does feel like this is pivotal, and it is obviously an opportunity for them to put their case across to the members. They are all having an hour-long session. We had two of those today. We'll have two more tomorrow. We just feel like they do have this audience. They are able to kind of really capture the members' attention in that moment. But it's, but you know, this contest, as I just mentioned, has been going on for so long. How many minds can you really change? Potentially some, but potentially not all.
Who do you think just finally, I mean, I'll put you on the spot slightly here. Who do you think the favourite is, if you had to put money on it now? Is it Kemi Badenoch or not necessarily?
I don't think it is Kemi Badenoch. I think it is Robert Jenrick now. I think he is doing better than expected. I think he, part of the reason he's done well in this campaign is he's been a bit of a surprise to everyone. Obviously, as you know, he was seen as Robert Jenrick, unfairly nicknamed by colleagues previously. But he does seem to have basically done well. He's managed to turn things around since he was in the Home Office, and he was sort of seen as a British Sunak spy. From then on, he's kind of gone much more hardline, become more right-wing, and actually seems to be a real favourite among the members. And when you walk around and talk to members, they do seem very, very interesting, Robert Jenrick. So I do think he could be the winner. It might still be Kemi Badenoch, but it could be either of the others too. So I wouldn't
You're
bet
on it. Covering your backside there.
Contractually obliged not to bet on leadership races any longer. But if I were to guess, I would say him.
Aggie, thanks very much indeed. I suspect you might be right. We will see. Aggie Shombray, LBC's political correspondent. 11:56 the time. Just before we move on, let's continue our conversation about Kemi Badenoch. She says we need to be clear that there are some cultures that are less valid than others. Is she right, or is that dog whistle politics? Let's talk to Rob in Worcester this evening. Hello, Rob.
Hello there, Ben. Good to speak to you again.
And you, sir. Pleasure.
My thoughts is that on the face of it, people think, oh, that's great. I think that's a good idea. But then again, it's Kemi Badenoch. And I think future conduct is what indicates our past conduct. And I think it's her being divisive. I think she's trying to appeal to those reform voters that didn't vote for the Tories.
Mm-hmm.
And she's appealing to that sector.
Is she wrong, though, Rob? Because I agree with you about why she's saying it. Does that make her wrong?
Makes her wrong, I think, because there's more to it that she's thinking of than she's actually disclosing. Other things I would say is, what exactly are our British values? I've not heard anybody actually identify.
Well, let's take the one that she talks about, the idea that men and women are equal, which I agree people in this country should live by. And yet, you know, she talks about immigrant families Most synagogues in this country wouldn't have a female rabbi and couldn't have a female rabbi. Mosques wouldn't have female imams. Catholic churches can't have female priests. So if she wants to get on and go off on one about people who believe that women are somehow inferior to men, then there's quite a lot of people and institutions already in this country, Christian, Muslim and Jewish, and other faiths and none, that she might want to look at before she starts going after immigrants.
Yeah, you're quite right. When you start looking at all the other factions, other religions, they all feature, a lot of them do feature elements of lack of equality or lack of opportunity.
Yeah, they are patriarchal. The idea that only a man can be a priest or a rabbi or an imam, that is based on the idea that a man is somehow superior to a woman. And that's not, you know, it's not about immigration today. We've got a problem that's already here.
Yeah, so I think we need to look at what are British values. What values do we have that are non-negotiable to us, that are really essential for a happy, peaceful, inclusive, peaceful society? I said peaceful twice.
Do you think, Rob, we're too, you know, we talk about tolerance as being a British value. I think that often comes up. Do you think we're too tolerant of other freedoms? Do you think we're too tolerant of religious freedoms, for example? You know, it's illegal to discriminate. If somebody was applying for any other job and basically look cold, sorry, not going to get this job because you're a woman, that would be against the Equality Act. But if that institution is a religious one, then they're exempt. Maybe they shouldn't be. I don't know.
Well, I think it's a very difficult conversation to have, isn't it? There's so many aspects.
It's very sensitive.
It's nothing straightforward.
But do you see my point? If Kemi Badenoch says we need to be more intolerant of other people's intolerance, then there's an awful lot of religious institutions right now in this country that she's going to have a big argument with.
Absolutely. Look at the Church of England. Look at the Catholic Church.
Yep.
All of these institutions.
Absolutely.
Degrees of intolerance within them.
But that's the problem, isn't it? Sorry to keep jumping in, Rob. She's not arguing about that. She hasn't got a problem with those people. She hasn't really got a problem, it seems to me, with inequality and illiberal views. She's only got a problem when those illiberal views are held by migrants.
Yeah, well, she's a dog whistle, isn't it?
And that's when it becomes dog whistle, doesn't it?
That she wants to appeal to. Yeah. She wants to come back to the Tories, vote for the Tories at the next election.
Yeah.
That's what it's about.
Yeah. That's when it basically comes down to what you call dog whistle. Because if you question her motives for saying it, and she's not talking about people already here that hold those views, then really you do question why she's saying it at all, and that perhaps undermines any validity or any sort of truth to what she is saying. Rob, thanks very much. Got to leave it there because we're moving on. Thank you, though. Interesting conversation, that. Kemi Badenoch's latest controversy. I wonder what tomorrow's will be. What will Kemi Badenoch say tomorrow? You can text me on this if you want. What will Kemi Badenoch say tomorrow that will get people up in arms and us probably talking about it at the same time tomorrow night? She's done maternity pay. Now she's on to migrant opinions and cultures. What's next? Tell you what we're going to talk about next. It's a tragedy. It's a tragic story, in fact, but it's raised some interesting questions. A woman, 96-year-old woman, has been spared prison today despite causing death by dangerous driving. And it's prompted a debate about whether we need to have a maximum age for driving in this country, or at least do something to stop the problem of dangerous drivers in their later years.
On your radio, on Global Player, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom, Hezbollah has issued a statement saying it's been targeting Israeli troop movements from Lebanese border towns as fears of an Israeli incursion into its neighbour intensify. This evening, there have also been reports of an exchange of fire in border areas. Plus, there are claims Lebanese troops have pulled back from the vicinity. But the Lebanese economy and trade minister, Amin Salam, says there is still a large push for peace in the region.
There is really unprecedented as well diplomatic work being done around the